afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rocksolid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's Ted Francis right there.
And I am sitting across from Gary Lucy.
Yeah, Gary Lucy. What is up?
To our right is Matt Belknap.
That's Woo! Me.
Introduce yourself.
Matty B on the back cut. Drug free. So put the crack up.
I'm exhausted.
Since our last episode, I was taken to see an artist in concert that I had no desire to go see.
Oh, who is that?
He's a very relevant artist in the year 2012.
Yes.
Oh, no.
He created something called Ant Music.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Adam Ant.
Now, that was a good show, I bet.
That was a good show. It was at the Mayan Theater, which is very, like, rock and roll-y.
Sure.
Like, it's very, it's not like, when they put theater at the end of it, you know, you think of something like that's going to be highbrow.
Yeah.
But this is, like, very, like, industrial looking inside. And the biggest shock was when I got up and I saw the marquee and it said sold out.
Sure it did.
So, but he was, Adam Ant had, he had a whole bunch of young guns with him, you know, so it wasn't like.
Oh, he didn't have his old time.
You know, it wasn't Adam and the Ants. It was just Adam Ant.
He had Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen.
Yep. Wow. He had Lou Diamond Phillips doing his best.
That's
La
amazing.
Bamba. But wow, he had two drummers.
Oh, yeah, that Burundi beat didn't get you away.
Yeah, and
that's
it was
transforming.
And the band was great, and he sounded real good, and he dressed the part. He had the is it a bolo jacket or whatever he has on?
Yeah, matador jacket.
Wore a pirate hat the entire show.
Whoa, maybe he's a little.
And it was so hot in the Mayan Theater that he must have lost. That, Gary, that's what you need to do instead of doing this insanity.
Go to the
go to the Mayan Theater, dance around for 2 hours with a pirate hat on your head.
Sing Goody Two Shoes and
and he sang all the songs I knew except Friend or Foe.
Oh no,
I think Friend or Foe has a lot of horns at the beginning, so maybe that's why they didn't do it.
Did he sing Beat My Guest? I like that one.
I don't know if he sang that one, but he was great. It was great. I was surprised. My friend Suzanne took me.
That's awesome.
And the way that she took me was, if I buy the tickets, will you go? I'm like, I guess.
I can't believe she likes him.
Oh, she loves him. Yeah. Loves the Adam Ant.
How's he holding up? Is he looking like idle at all? Or has he got the...
No, he looked, you know, he had a pirate shirt on under a bolo jacket and he had a sash. So, he looks fine. He wore a costume like
very, very slimming.
Like they do. Yeah, it is. And so, it was fun. And they played very fast, like almost like Ramones type fast.
Oh, man.
It's pretty
lucky.
Cool.
That's so great.
And the opening band, God, I wish I could remember their name. It was just a guitarist and a drummer.
Uh-huh.
The White Stripes?
It wasn't the White Stripes, but that's the first thing I go, oh, they were going White Stripes. And it was great.
Was it Jeff the Brotherhood?
No.
Oh.
I posted a picture on, I tweeted a picture of the
can
marquee.
Can you look it up? Isn't that something online?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can look
text
up.
Text Suzanne, maybe.
Yeah, Gary, you talk for a second. I'm going to look up this picture.
I would like to plug a movie that I saw over this time. It's it would be of great interest to any comedy fan. It's called Sleepwalk With Me, the Mike Birbiglia movie. Have you seen that? It's now available on demand.
Cool.
Awesome movie. It's very well done. It's about his problems with sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. And it's also like kind of the B story is how he's like breaking into comedy and he gets it just right. Just like of those early days of sucking and starting to do comedy. But great performances from like Henry Lee Phillips and Jesse Klein is in there and Mark Maron is in there. It's just really good. And the one thing I don't get about this movie and tell me if you guys are on the same page, because I think we have the same attitude. There's a certain like a boy comedian. Half of them, they're terrified of commitment. You know, they're like the three of us. We're happily married. We think we got the better end of the deal. I think all three of us. You know, and we're like hanging on for dear life. Mike Birbiglia, his girlfriend. This is played by Lauren Ambrose of 6 Feet Under fame. Saucy redhead and everything like that.
Okay, so this isn't okay. Now I'm so
it's
this,
not a documentary.
It's not a documentary.
And it's not his off Broadway show.
Right.
Okay. Great. Okay. Cool.
It's a fictionalization with like not real like they're playing characters, but they're all based on real people.
Right. Right.
Okay. Exactly. Like Mark Maron doesn't play Mark Maron.
No, he plays like some other kind.
Okay.
Of
cool.
Like, it's seriously like Mark Maroon. Like,
did you see it? Did you see it?
No.
Okay.
I just,
but he's so like he's so like racked up about not being able to commit to Lauren Ambrose that he's sleepwalking, and not just sleepwalking, but like diving out a second story window. And I was like, you know, dude, look at you. You know, you're like, you know, he's not a bad looking guy.
Yeah.
But I don't get that mindset. Like, certainly Jimmy's not like that, or a lot of comedians you can name are very happily married. But a lot of these comedy boys are married to like very accomplished women, and they go on and on about, yeah, she's lucky, I could do way better than her.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's those enough guys to make you walk from the room, punching the chops.
that's right? What they need a pop in the puss.
Yeah.
No, but definitely see.
I'm going to check that out now.
Yeah,
I think maybe some people. I'm not talking about Mike Birbiglia per se, but maybe it's a certain sect of the comedian mindset is you have to have an inflated sense of self
to even
get on stage and perform. So maybe that transfers over to relationships a little bit.
Yeah, and then you hear all these, I hate this so much when comedians go, you got to be a little bit fucked up and crazy to be a comedian. I'm like, all right, okay, whatever, that's your crutch.
You know what the truth is about that? Is that every single person on the planet is a little bit fucked up. And the ones who are artists are expressing it, and you go, oh, wow, that person's fucked up.
Yeah.
The people who are accountants are keeping it inside, and you don't see it until they fucking murder somebody or
jump out the window.
Yeah.
So the band that opened for, and I liked on the marquee, they put the D for Adamant, they put it backwards, because that's how his logo is.
Oh, nice.
But Brothers of Brazil.
Don't know them.
Wait, no, I thought that was who you
Brothers,
just said.
Yeah, Jeff the Brotherhood. Yeah.
Jeff the Brotherhood.
You were close. Yeah, Brothers of Brazil, they were fantastic. They both sang co-lead. The drummer, his drum set was sideways
on the
it was cool. It was kind of cool, yeah.
Did it have a Brazilian flavor?
No, it didn't. It was very punky, but listenable. You know how some punk rock is just like, it was very good. Brothers
of
Brazil.
You just sang my favorite
song. You're going to look some up?
No.
Okay. I thought you were like, you're full. I'm like, oh, maybe that's going to pop something. I'll try to play some next time.
Well, we got a full docket because we have like a.
We do. I have tons of songs.
Because jam-packed show.
Gary picked a topic that I'm pretty sure that the word that we're looking for in the songs this week is the word that is most used in songs. I think that.
In pop music, for sure.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure number two is the word blue.
Really?
And number one is what, Gary?
Well, why don't you play this intro song and
let's see if they can guess it.
I don't know which is here.
Featuring the great Jack Jones, and this will take you to that special place. All aboard!
Hello, Isaac.
Hey, Isaac. Hey, Gopher. How are you? Doc, sup?
Hey, Isaac. Back in the boat.
Life's sweetest reward. Exciting. Oh, sorry. It's the next verse.
Barbie Benton's on this episode.
Hey, look, there's Phyllis Diller.
Oh. Phyllis Diller.
Hey, it's Judy and Audrey Landers. Oh, Sonny Bono's on. Who's he going to play, Gary?
Deacon Dark.
Yes.
Smash it, smash it.
Well, damn it if that isn't Norman Fell.
James Cagney? He's still alive?
What? How'd they get him?
Is that Abraham Lincoln? No, this is just nonsensical.
It's Dennis
Hey, there's Jessica Rabbit. No, she wasn't on.
Oh, it's all about love.
Love.
How can we spread the love?
And Gary goes, let's just do, like, love. And I was like, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be so hard because there's going to be...
We could do a season with this topic.
I mean, I opened up the iTunes and it was like 5,000 songs, love.
Let me just put it this way. I got 6 songs for the play out. That's how crazy this topic is.
Yeah, I had a play. We won't use my my play-in song, but because...
Let's hear a taste of
it. Okay, let's hear a taste of it.
What is it? Oh, this
Jake
one.
Giles, yeah. I think.
I thought you had it queued up.
It is, isn't it?
I thought it was just going to be...
Oh, no.
So that's his opinion.
He's like these comics that can't find love.
Or, she better watch out because there's waitresses that like me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's waitresses that smoke like chimneys and have 8 kids at home.
So she better watch out.
Yeah. Beware.
Would you mind if I kick things off?
No. It's your topic, man. Gary?
Yes.
I'm going to quote Pardo. It's your day.
Thank you very much. This is one of those crazy-ass songs from the 70s that we take for granted. I don't know if Matt's ever heard this, but a lot of people might not know it's a cover. But if you go to America and play from about 32...
Is it the band America?
Yeah. It's a little story about love amongst the rodents. That.
Out in Muskrat land, so skinny. And they whirled and they twirled and they tangled, singing and jingling in the jangle, floating like the heavens above. Looks like muskrat love.
Now see, the version I was familiar with growing up was Captain and Tennille.
Sure.
But both of those are remakes. They did not write that song.
Oh, is that a fact? Who's the original?
Willis Allen Ramsey.
Oh.
Wrote the song.
How about that?
And it was on his only album called Willis Allen Ramsey.
Wow.
So
are you sure that wasn't just he was pitching a movie to Disney? All right. We're in the barn.
We got these muskrats. They love each other.
But that was presented. That was a normal song.
That was out there. That's on the radio. That played right along
twice. Yeah, two versions.
Yeah. Yep,
and no one caught it.
No one said a thing about it.
Point of order, muskrats. Come on. But that's what love means to me. How about you, Pat?
I went really old school. I'm going to go back to 1956. Mm. Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
this is terrific.
Why do birds sing so gay? The lovers must have been
totally gay.
Yeah.
Why do they fall in love?
Gay birds.
Birds are so gay.
Why do fools fall in love? Why do they fall in love?
That might be one of the greatest songs of all
time. It sounds great.
It's so great.
It sounds great.
Voice like a bird.
Yeah.
Kind of the Bieber of his time, Frankie Lyman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did he have, like 9 or 10 wives or something?
I think so, yeah. I think some craziness.
Right. Didn't they made a movie, yeah. right? A few
I
years
think
ago?
They might have.
Yeah late, I think late it's night called night. Why Do Fools Fall in Love.
It's some sister wives.
And it's like, isn't like Beyonce in it or something? It's some pop stars are in it.
Right. Who is it? Maybe.
I got to look it up. The
not,
guy, though.
Not Mary J. Blige. You wouldn't mess around on her.
No.
No,
she would kill you.
She would kill you.
Oh, he died at age 25.
Yeah. Well, he lived, but he lived several lives.
He did.
That's why he had to pack it in.
He was a boy soprano.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, here we go. 1998 film, Why Do Fools Fall in Love. It was with Lorenz Tate.
Ah, yes.
And, Halle Berry, Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, yes. Or as I like to call her, Vivica, a fox.
And you can find that on Shitflix. Netflix. What's it called? Netflix. We are calling it Shitflix because there's so much crap on there.
I thought you meant there's like a separate site.
There's a separate site.
Just for shitty
catalog.
Yeah,
Shitflix.
That's where you'll find your another 48 hours. And Percy, the sequel to Percy's over there.
Think Like a Man. This yep. just came out on Shitflix.
Juana Man is on there.
Why am I going all black films? That's horrible.
I know, that's terrible.
That's really
because
nice.
We don't see those movies. Because we have the problem.
Tyler Perry's all is who works.
That's right.
He's got his own section.
That's our problem. It's not their problem, folks.
No, I used to, I went to all those movies. Four Brothers. I think that's one of them.
Let me tell you something.
Or is that the one about
Friday
the Tigers?
Let me tell you. When I was a kid, I had... The only albums I owned were Jackson 5 albums.
Sure.
I wanted the Black G.I. Joe for Christmas and got it. I had a Willie Tyler and Lester
nice.
Doll. Mm-hmm. I mean, like everything. I had a Freddie.
So why are you
I had
so
a Freddie,
racist now?
I don't know. I had a Freddie Boom Boom Washington rug.
What?
Yes, at the bottom of my bunk bed ladder. I'm not kidding. It was
crazy.
Do you
still have that? Because that's probably
no. I wish I had it.
I've never can't believe that they made a rug.
I tried. They made them of all the characters. I tried to find it, like a picture of it on Google. I couldn't find it. It was
that's crazy.
The weirdest thing. But I know.
Fantastic. Well, we went all the way from Frankie Lyman to Boom Boom Washington.
Well, yeah, all the iconic African American figures mm-hmm. of our time.
He's I guess Travolta, but he's the last Sweat Hog Standing, where he's down to him at Travolta.
I know.
Who's going to blink?
My friend Chip Chinnery just did a Viagra commercial with Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Right?
What's the actor's name?
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
That's right. Very good, Gary. Yeah. Gary, you're up. What's in your love gun, Gary?
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get there. Don't worry. But this is a great band from San Diego. They're not a great band, but this was like they caught fire about 6 or 7 years ago with this great song, and it's kind of like a modern day California Girls, where
okay.
he kind of runs down like all the different kind of girls he wants to get with. And if you could play Louis the 14th for about a minute and three,
yeah.
And this is a track called "Finding Out True Love Is Blind."
So it was in that like span of time when, like, the White Stripes and what were those guys from Sweden?
Oh, the Hives.
The Hives. Yeah. Everyone was sounding like this, and it was awesome.
Exactly.
Hey, carrot juice, I want to squeeze you every way until you bleed. A fine actress, and your vanilla friend, but she looks like something I need. A fine actress, I want this little smart girl with your glasses and all your books. A fine actress, and I want this stupid girl who gives me all those dirty looks.
Let's let it get back to the nasty part.
Yeah. Yeah, enough of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's rock.
But I like that this is in there, though. So that
yeah,
girls,
it's a little mix-up.
Kind of brings the girls
in. I forgot about this part. It's a great album. This whole album is good.
Anyway, Louis the 14th.
If I was that's Louis the 14th, but if I was going to choose a band, would it be, which band should I start with? The Hives, the Vines, or the Strokes? Who would you say?
Oh, the Strokes.
The Strokes and Gary?
Strokes for sure, but the Hives are next. The Vines, I was proud of America saying no to the Vines.
Okay, good.
They were ramming them down our throat.
I want to get into some Strokes, man.
I feel like the Hives are just kind of one note. Like, that was
a little bit,
but I think the Strokes are, they had a good second act.
Yes, for sure. But I like the Hives. I like that guy's attitude and everything and the suits and everything. Yeah. But anyway.
But that Louis the 14th, that was just start to finish. I was into that whole album. I always thought that it would be cool that, you know, there was a song. They have a song on that album called Louis the 14th, I think.
Okay.
And I always thought it'd be cool if Louis C.K. came out to that song, like, for one of his concert films.
Suggest
cool.
that.
Nah.
It's not worth it.
The next artist I'm going to play, I have a bunch of these artists where I like them, and then I'll have one friend that likes that artist too. So then that's the only person I can talk about with that artist. And the love that I share with the 40-year-old boy, Mike Schmidt, over Rick Springfield is crazy. Like, we can, like, he'll go, Rick's got a new album coming. I know, we got to go. I mean, so we're like girls. And in concert, Rick Springfield, he'll get a bouquet of roses. I don't know. He thought this up, I think. He'll strum the guitar with the roses, and the petals go flying, and it's just awesome.
That's some stagecraft. I like that.
It's crazy.
I thought you meant Mike would get the roses.
Nah.
Mike and I will buy. Well, actually, what we do is we buy roses, and we walk down to the front of the stage, and we present them.
Yeah, and then he plays his guitar
and
with
he plays the guitar with them.
It's fantastic.
And he says, get these nerds out of here. And that's actually the signal to security to come get us.
Yeah.
But this is a song called Love Somebody. From the soundtrack to Rick's screen debut on the big screen, Hard to Hold, which was not good. But this song, I love Rick Springfield 80s pop songs, so this is Love Somebody.
Totally forgot about
love,
that song.
And it's great.
I know.
Not bad at all.
And I got to tell you, on October 9th, Rick Springfield has a new album coming out.
Don't care.
It's called, wait a minute. It's called Songs for the End of the World. And I think what that means is if any of those songs become hits, it will be the end of the world. It'll be the end of days.
Just before the Mayan calendar ends. He's hitting that.
I know.
Perfectly.
And also, it'll come in four different covers.
Oh,
so, got to get them all.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy how he can, like, I feel like Jesse's Girl does the same thing where he hits an emotion that just is uniquely 80s and unique. I don't know. It just, like, evokes something really, really powerful.
Last year for the podcast-a-thon, I tried to get Rick Springfield because he lives right out in Westlake Village. Mm-hmm. And Pardo's like, really? I mean, I go, dude, if Rick Springfield comes out and sings an acoustic version of Jesse's Girl, no one won't go crazy. And he was like, But okay, maybe you're right. And then we didn't get him.
And it is yet another in a pattern of Jimmy and I trying to protect you from having your feelings hurt.
I don't have my feelings hurt, though. My feelings are not hurt.
Put yourself out there, man.
Play something, Gary.
At least you throw it out there. This is probably the only time in history that these two artists will have been played back-to-back. But one of the cornerstones of every hipster record collection is Captain Beefheart. And I'm not going to act like I sit around listening to the Trout Mask replica or anything like that, but the guy can name a song and an album. And from the album Lick My Decals Off, Baby, from about 49 seconds, Matt, we're going to hear a song called I Love You, You Big Dummy. A lot of people don't know Don Van Vliet, very influenced by Red Fox and his brand of the blues.
He was released many party albums, didn't he?
Exactly, yeah, totally.
Gary, in your list, I don't want to tip the hat, but by asking this question, I'm tipping the hat. Mm-hmm. Do you have any Beatles songs on your list today?
No, I don't.
And that's funny because as soon as you told me this topic, I immediately thought the Beatles, because they have Somebody. Love Me Do, Can't Buy Me Love, and I Love Her, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
All You Need Is Love. Which I would say is the quintessential
Eleanor Loveby.
Kind of like
Eleanor Loveby. Yeah, it is. I agree with you. All You Need Is Love.
You can't get a more love song than All You Need Is Love.
It starts out with the word repeated constantly. Love.
And then also just because it represents it's so central to what they stood for and what John Lennon and Yoko Ono were trying to do. And so it's really like, wow, okay, no one's ever going to make a love song like that again.
So let's hear some Loverboy.
Yeah. So close.
Why even play it?
So close, Gary.
Yeah, okay, no.
So close. We are going to go to what I always like to term prog rock bullshit.
Nice.
And this is from, what was the big Yes album, the big comeback in the 80s? I always want to call it
90210? No, 90215?
91250 something.
Yeah, something.
So this was their follow-up. Big Generator.
Oh, right.
And this is a song that I love this song. This is called Love Will Find a Way. Had to get to that part. Sorry for the long clip. One of the lyrics in there is, I eat at Chez New.
Well, okay.
He's throwing a little plug out there for his favorite restaurant.
I think he means, Chez New means at your house in France.
Oh, you know what I think it means?
He's going down.
Downstairs.
Chez New. Wonder what that translates to.
Table for one.
Pussy.
But
he's going to take his big generator and put it in your Chez New.
Once again, Pat Francis.
Yeah.
Dragging.
I'm sorry. It means our house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dragging from the wreckage of music history, dragging a victim and bringing it back to life.
I haven't even
thought of that song. And
I know there's a video. Look it up. Post it.
Love will find a way.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
Speed of moldy oldies. You know,
happy about it too. Go ahead.
Here's some edumacational for you kids. You're familiar with the Cheech and Chong Basketball Jones?
Yeah.
Were you aware that that was based on a hit at the time?
No.
Called Love Jones by a band called Brighter Shade of Darkness, or Brighter Side of Darkness.
I wish there was some way that we could hear that.
Let's hear a little bit of that from about a minute and 20 in, and you'll hear the similarities right away from Love Jones.
What, baby? What is a love, Jones? shucks, down. It's when you love someone very, very much, and you just can't seem to get yourself together.
That's what I assumed it was.
The person's drunk.
Like last Friday, when Mr. Russell was giving us the chance.
Here he talks about failing his test because he loves Jones, but later on he talks about it. It's just like when you love, you like love so much, it's like you're a junkie. And if someone ripped you off from me, I wouldn't be responsible for what I did.
Oh, boy.
Like, so it's like Chris Brown. So there you go, kids. That thing you don't remember, it's based on something you never heard of.
This is
that's what we bring him here.
This Wait, is, what was the Cheech and Chong thing?
Basketball Jones?
Jones.
You would love Basketball Jones.
And this is so weird that you brought this up today, Gary, because do you remember Cheech and Chong's Sister Mary Elephant?
Sure.
This next song is not at all related to that. This is Carole King from Tapestry. After to get the bad taste of Big Generator out of our mouths, and we're gonna listen to "Will You Love Me Tomorrow."
Oh, neat.
Song about one night stands. No, I don't know what.
So that was a song that she wrote for the Shirelles or something,
right? And
like that.
She did slowed it down and made it her own.
Made it.
Yeah,
up.
I love it. Nice. Shirelles' version is amazing, but I wanted to give Carole King props, and she wrote it.
Very nice, Carole King. Next, I have a Scottish band that one of the great band names of all time. That's also kind of a public service announcement. It's they're called Dogs Die in Hot Cars, and the song is called.
Again, this is where Gary. If I Googled, it's like Gary Googles a bunch of words, and then a band comes up.
You're gonna love this song. It's you just play from the beginning. It's I Love You Because I Have To.
Okay,
I'll rock solid.
I like it.
Green are my eyes, they seem so much compassion. I could have changed, but too much suffering inside. So now I'm sad enough.
I love you, cause I have to.
And now I spend most of my time playing computer games and wishing I was loving like most of my friends who I am so wishing.
Shabby, huh?
I love you.
Well, don't get too excited for new Dogs Die in Hot Car albums.
Because they all died in the hot
they
car.
They all died in the hot car. Aww. But according to their Wikipedia page...
But they have a spin-off group called Crack the Window.
It's like, Crack the Window, stupid. According to their wiki page, Lee Worrell, bass player, is now manager of the famous Glasgow venue King Tut's Wawa Hut.
Oh, well, great. So if you want to get your CD signed, head over there.
Stop in over there.
Is the whole album good or just that song?
It's cool. You know, it's all right.
Wasn't good. Cool is not good.
The album is called Please Describe Yourself.
Okay.
That's a pretty good title.
And that's their only release?
I think so.
Again, how does he find that?
Yeah.
They only have one album. It's not like this is from their first album and they have a catalog of, you know, 8 albums. It's like they got one album and I found this song and I
heard it on the radio.
I blame Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Are you
exactly. Probably the
and Gary,
source
and,
of all
and
of them.
The listeners are no longer going to let Gary say, this was a hit.
This was a hit.
No, they're on to his BS with that.
Yes.
Let's go with a song from a guy who is not the greatest voice. Doesn't have the greatest voice.
And I'm listening.
I think you'll agree, Gary. And Gary, I think you like this guy.
Okay.
This is from his debut solo album after leaving the Velvet Underground.
Oh.
This is Lou Reed. And this song, it was either between Satellite of Love, but I took this one. This is called I Love You.
Yep.
When I think of all the things I've done, and I know that it's only just begun. Those smiling faces, you know, I just can't forget them. But I love you.
That's good. That's all we need.
Nice. Is Transformers first?
This is off a self-titled album called Lou Reed.
Okay, of course.
So it's got a real weird album cover.
Nice.
And some good stuff.
That Transformers album, that's more than meets the eye.
It really is. It starts as an album.
Is the new Transformer movie, are they going to call it Trans and then the number 4?
Hell yeah, they are.
Oh, MERS. They got to. Kyle says no. Kyle's here again.
Have you been on that? I went to Universal a couple weeks ago with Zoe, and I went on that Transformers ride.
How is
it? Not with Zoe.
How is it?
It's awesome.
Okay, is it one of those? Tell me about the ride.
Okay, it's basically.
Is it like The Simpsons where you just sit there? No, it's not.
It moves. You're in a motion simulator car, but the car goes around on a little journey, and it sort of stops in front of different 3D screens, and shit happens in your face, and the car moves around, and then you're being plummeted and, you know, flung around. You go through, I think, a robot's anus at one point. That's what it looked like, at least. It, like, seriously, it's like this crazy, like, you know, the disposal in your sink, but, like, the size of a building, and you go through it somehow.
You don't go through Megan Fox's anus in this ride?
that's at the Vivid. Vivid Park.
Vivid Entertainment Park. Yeah. How does that not happen?
It's right across the street from Universal.
I know it is. Yeah. I used to work in that building. It used to be the Promark building.
Yeah.
Sure. It couldn't have been the Vivid building when I worked there. Who would you have ridden up in the elevator with? That would have been great. Hey, Chesty Malone.
Had a lot of
yeah, it's super good. The 3D is super good. The motion is really good.
I don't like heights, so is it going to give me the illusion that I'm really high?
Yes. There was one part where you fall off a building. It's pretty crazy.
Because I was even... You've ridden The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Even on that one, even though it's animated, that gives you the sense of that you're falling.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I could get my mind around that a little more.
Right.
Preston has a nervous breakdown on Small World. Will he be scared?
Who'd you ride it with? Yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's an awesome pro tip for you park hoppers. Yeah. I don't know if that's what they're called.
Yeah, I like it. You have a website, right? Awesome pro tips.
If you are at a park, there is, at least for that ride, if you're a single rider, because like... Zoe can't go on that ride.
No.
And Elise didn't really care. She was like, do you want to go on a bike? I was like, yeah, sure. So I went totally expecting to have to wait like, you know, 25 minutes or whatever.
Right.
If you're a single occupant, whatever, you can just go right to the front of the line. I seriously was in and out in like 7 minutes.
Well, how do you and your wife not go to the park together, but then pretend you don't know each other so you can get right on these rides?
That's what I said. If you don't care, like why, if you're there with friends, just go one at a time.
Yeah.
You don't, unless you really care about sitting next to your friend while you're doing it. It's because you wouldn't be in the same car.
Kind of worried though if I rode that by myself if the people in my car would want me to be hanging on them the whole time.
You might get a little
sir, please don't hold my hand so tight.
If you're crying.
Sir, I don't know you.
By the way, if you don't like getting wet, don't go to Universal Studios at all, because every single ride has an element where they're like, and then there's water in your face. No way.
And then you can purchase a towel. Universal towel. Total.
If you like getting wet, go to Vivid Entertainment.
Back to love.
Gary's up. We took it to sex for a while.
Speaking of porn. This is a song called The Inside of Love by just a great overlooked album from about 2000 by a band called Not a Surf that we played once before, but we haven't heard this song before. From about 43 seconds.
I think this was a hit.
Maybe it could have been. Let's hear it. This might have been a hit. Should have been.
He's making fun of you.
Making out with people.
Like a reinvention and a comeback for them, because they started out as kind of like a Weezer knockoff in the late 90s. And what's great about this album is if you ever do like a three-hole punch or a hole puncher, and like one of the greatest jobs at the office is like emptying that, because it's like wee party time, but it's like a bunch of those things are on there. And
yeah, and different colors.
That's cool.
Makes me feel
that was I know you're making fun of him, but that was a hit. I remember hearing
really
that. Yeah, well, I remember hearing that on the radio.
Now who's laughing?
Yeah, who's crying now?
Yes,
Journey. On Rock Solid. This is, I played this band last episode, and I play this band a lot.
Son of a
because
bitch.
To me, this is still for me one of the greatest bands that ever existed. And this is just a big, bombastic song that I love. This is
That's
Queen.
The only kind they make.
It's true. This is Queen, Somebody to Love.
Nice. I work, every day of my life.
I worked like my bones at the end.
At the end of the day,
I take home my half of me. All I know is I got out of my disease. Right away, till the tears run down from my eyes.
Oh, somebody, somebody,
ooh, somebody.
I'll take that over Bohemian Rhapsody any day of the week. I love that song.
And I love the Queen treatment on kind of a more of a mundane, prosaic topic rather than like last time we heard Jesus. And it
right.
You know, that just seemed like Andrew Lloyd Webber, but this is just like, somebody elevates. Loved.
And I like how the background vocals, the operatic vocals at one point, he goes, I get down and you just hear, they go, knees. It's hysterical.
Now, would you guys be mad? I just thought of this. This is not happening. I haven't heard anything.
You going to change the topic mid-show?
This isn't working out.
Would you be mad if Sacha Baron Cohen played Freddie Mercury in a biopic?
No.
I think that might be a good fit.
But what I read about that biopic is that it's only going to cover certain time periods.
Oh, so they are doing, I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're doing it, but it's only going to cover a certain time period. I don't even think it's going to get up to, I think it's only going to go to 86 and it's going to close out with their last performance at the Wembley Theater. I don't think it's going to cover the him dying stuff, which I think, it's just going to have a crawl at the end. And then Freddie died.
I mean, I admire, I think what's so boring about biopics is that they all have the same formula.
Well, they do.
They all, you know exactly the beats, no matter who it is. So by all means, shake it up a little bit, but that is a little weird.
And I assume he's going to have to lip sync everything. You know, don't think, even if he could sing, he can't sing like that.
I'm not saying Sacha Baron Cohen's doing it. I just want to be clear. I think he would
be very good. I think he would be very good.
It's gonna be Shia LaBeouf. There you go. He gets him in everything.
It's not gonna be Channing Tatum. Or is it Tatum Channing? I never know how to say that sleepy faced guy's eyes name. Always looks like he's just wearing every scene. It always looks like and action. What? Oh, Channing, we're gonna start the scene. Okay, take two. It's always a take two with that guy because he's asleep. Gary, you're up.
As long as we're talking about movies, this is I pulled the scene from one of the funniest movies of the last decade or so. And
do not say Jack and Jill.
No, it wasn't Jack and Jill, but it talks about the first album I ever owned when I was at the store and I was everything was all clear to get an album. I'd heard so much about these Sex Pistols.
Okay.
But at the other time, my friend had Kiss Love Gun, and it comes with a little paper Love Gun. I gotta go Love Gun.
I tipped this song. I'm sorry.
Oh. So, do you want to hear the little clip from Role Models where he's.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
That is a great movie. Have you seen that, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, could you start
have
this
you seen
about,
Role Models?
At 20 seconds in, Matt.
Rock Solid approved Role Models.
You created this clip, and I still have to cue it up.
Yeah. Because I want you to feel the clip.
Guy's on insanity.
What are these clowns?
Kiss? You don't know who Kiss is?
No. Never heard of them. They look like idiots to me.
No. Dude, these are four of the smartest guys who ever lived. They're these Jewish guys that grew up in New York, and they put on guitars and makeup to get girls, and all their songs are about fucking.
I'm listening.
Seriously, this song is called Love Gun, and it's about Paul Stanley's dick. How this girl's gonna get some of his dick.
I didn't know Jews could sing like that.
No, they couldn't at the time. That's why they had to dress like clowns.
This got them girls?
Get this. They've been getting pussy nonstop for 30 years. They're probably fucking right now. They're old dudes. They put makeup on and it's all good.
No shit.
You pull the trigger of mine. Love gun. See, Ronnie, his dick is the gun.
Do you get it, Pat?
And I always forget that actor's name. Sean William Scott?
Yeah, exactly. Stifler.
That guy's funny.
He cracks me
up. He is funny.
This is going to sound weird after hearing that clip, but that's the first movie I ever took Zoe to.
What?
Oh, that's cool.
It's true.
Wouldn't let her ride that transport. Oh, she was a daddy and me?
She was like 3 or 4 months old. She slept through the whole thing, but I was like, I got to see a movie.
Got to see that.
That's awesome. Yeah. What do you got, Pat?
I've got one of my dudes. I got from his second album, Field Day. This is Marshall Crenshaw with For Her Love.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that was produced by Steve Lillywhite.
Nice.
And I got a quick story. I don't know if I've told this story before. I might have. But a listener, Scott Phillips, who's a big fan of Marshall Crenshaw, as I am, I got Marshall Crenshaw's autograph this past year. And a couple weeks later, Scott was going to be seeing him.
All right.
So he was able to get his autograph, too. But what he told me was, he goes, he had the Field Day album, the vinyl. He said, and about 10 other people had that same exact album. He goes, so I'm waiting in line, and I get up there, I'm first, and as Marshall's signing it, Scott says to him, yeah, you're going to get sick of looking at this album by the end of the night. And Marshall Crenshaw said, I'm sick of it already.
Ooh, ouch. Oh, man.
Which just cracked me up.
Well, he's making fun of himself.
I know. I'm sick of it already.
I love that you carry the banner for Marshall Crenshaw, because, you know, all he does is write great songs and work hard, and
no one cares.
He just keeps getting bumped by show business. Like, oh, we ran a little long, Marshall. So it's going to be your two. Stay ready. Stay ready. We're going to call on you.
Someday.
Here's a group that emerged from that Berkeley late 80s, early 90s punk scene that gave us Green Day, but they didn't quite catch on as big as them. But from the provocatively titled album Milk Milk Lemonade, we have a group called the Mr. T Experience from about 21 Seconds, Matt. This is a song called I Love You, But You're Standing on My Foot.
Now I've seen it all, and they kick me out of the hall.
Sounds like something Todd would have written for Utopia.
Right, exactly. Yeah, totally. That's funny.
This actually happened to me the other day. I came up behind Pilar to give her a nice, like, lovey-dovey hug from behind, and put my big, clunky running shoe right down on her bare pinky toe.
Oh, ouch.
And she's like, ah, come on.
You lummox. What's the matter with you?
Get out of here. dummy.
So it's something that's relatable, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's relatable.
So there you go.
I got to introduce that to Zoe, because she's always stepping on my feet.
Oh, it's crazy.
She wants
isn't
to do the robot walk or whatever.
Oh, that is fun, though.
Tell her about, does she know about Toes Day? what day it is?
No.
Tell her about Toes Day.
But that reminds me, oh my God, I forgot about this.
You got something to promote?
No, I just thought that this is something I want to start, and I haven't even talked to you guys, but I'm just going to drop this on you now.
Okay.
I think we should have a Rock Solid Hotline.
Ooh.
Rock Solid Hotline.
So fans can call in and suggest show ideas, maybe request songs, or just say whatever.
Should we do an all request show? People call in and say, play, this is one of my favorite bands and no one knows them, and you really need to play this song.
That's not a bad idea.
And then if you want to get outside the box a little, you can just call in and sort of sing a little song like that. Maybe you were inspired to sing by the show. Like this is something that Zoe wanted to share with you.
Oh,
guys.
Okay, here we go.
Gary's already heard this.
That's okay.
A thin bow of a serena, 45. A thin bow of a serena, 45. A thin bow of a serena, 45. A thin bow of a serena, 45.
And that lasted for like 2 hours? Like,
what is she saying? What's the first thing she's saying?
Well, the song, as we know from the show, from Gary playing it, is a brimful of Asha on the 45.
Okay.
But she's saying a fin full of Asha on the 45.
I like it that she's got a Weird Al quality to her.
She rewrites
these lyrics.
Yeah. I should have said this when you played it. I forgot. 45 is her favorite number for some reason. She just decided she loves saying it. Anytime you say anything to her, she's like, 45?
Secretly, she knows that's the age that her dad's going to die.
Oh, my God. And that will be the method, too. She will shoot me with a 45.
Or she'll just sing that song until you take your own life.
So anyway, she's always saying 45, and then I was like, you know, there's a song called and so I played it, and she was like, at first she hated it for some reason, then she decided she loved it.
There's an Elvis Costello song called 45 also.
I should play that.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's lyric appropriate too.
So when we get that together, you guys, we'll give you a phone number, you can call in and sing songs and do stupid stuff that we'll play on the air.
Cool.
I love it. Yeah, we'll let you know when that number pops off.
I want to flip my next two. I want to play the slithering ones first.
Uh-huh.
This is This is a song called originally from 1989. It is a big, bombastic power ballad of a song called The Deeper the Love by a band called Whitesnake.
Oh.
But I'm going to play a version that totally strips that bombacity, is that a word, out of it. And this is from an album called Starkers in Tokyo, which means naked in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And this is called The Deeper the Love.
Hmm. By Captain Tenu.
I look back on everything I've done. I know you must have cried a river of tears. And you were there, but I was feeling low. Walk me through my darkest fears. So when the sun goes down and those nights are growing colder, I will be there looking over your shoulder. And the deeper the love, the stronger the emotion.
Yeah, I could use a little bombast, honestly.
Hang in there.
Deeper the devotion.
I love it. That was recorded. That was recorded just for like at EMI Studios for like 200 people. It was just him and Adrian Vandenberg on guitar. And they did a bunch of hits, and I love that stripped down.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
Easy to forget that fool's got a great voice.
Yeah, he does have a nice voice, and you know, when he's not yelling around and having chicks dance on his car.
very tan guy.
Yes, he's very tan. Yeah. Still got all that hair too. Wears a suit, dresses up.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's a gentleman.
I was about to say.
He's an English gentleman.
I see.
He's not coming out here with the ripped jeans and stuff. He'll put a suit and a tie on and come out there and belt it out.
Does he wear a bespoke suit?
Yeah, no. What?
That's I've never heard that term in my life.
What is that?
And it's come up a half a dozen times in the last week. A bespoke, it just means like tailored suit, but it's like...
Probably does.
Okay.
Absolutely. His body demands it.
Build your vocabulary and your word power with Rock Solid.
It's in that weird song that I don't know who it even is, but there's that song, some British girl singing and then some guy rapping.
Oh, really?
You know, I thought maybe that was one that doesn't.
I think Kanye like works it in on something too.
Well, probably, cool. Yeah. I could see him doing that. But no, what is this song? I'll look it up while you guys talk.
So here's some British people who are not tan. This is a group that never really quite caught on in the States in the 80s.
Uh-oh.
But they were great, like kind of, they had that skiffle sound, that, you know, stand up snare and like acoustic instruments, and they were called the Wooden Tops. And from about 55 seconds, Matt, let's hear the big showstopper, Love Affair with Everyday Living.
It's not a real band.
It's true, the Wooden Tops.
Now the radio plays the music. Some things will never bear. Some things will never bear. Fight, fight, fight for that love affair with everyday living. A little closer to that love affair with everyday living. La, 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 la. Love affair with everyday living. A little closer to that love affair with everyday living.
Oh, that used to be a party when the Wooden Tops would come to town. That was
skiffle.
That was a good time. Yeah.
Skiffle. I think I don't like any music that begins with an S and a K. I don't like ska. I don't like skiffle.
Really?
No, that's okay. No, I'm kidding.
You don't like skunk rock?
I know. I don't like Jeff Skunk Baxter either.
Oh,
guy
no.
Sits down when he plays his guitar. That's not a fun show for anyone.
I was trying to think of Estelle's American Boy.
I heard
that song.
Are they skiffle?
Nope.
No? What made you think of that?
Because the guy says bespoke in that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's it. Rollo McGinty. That's the lead singer of the Wooden Tops, if you're wondering.
Rollo McGinty.
Yeah.
Doesn't he play with the Yerba's Bird?
With the Yerba's Bird.
Yerba's.
That was last show. And I also wanted to give a plug to from Mr. T Experience, Dr. Frank Portman, the lead singer. He has this great like young adult book called King Dork. That's good reading.
He's also my wife's OBGYN.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I love you, but you're standing on my cervix.
Yeah. Anyway, this is, I'm going to play another lady right now. This is from her 2008 album, Detours. This is when Sheryl Crow embraced the sound of her debut album, and this is called Love Is Free.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a great album. Detours is great. It the guy who produced her second album, her first album, I mean, they had a falling out, and then they patched it back up.
Oh, was that Kevin? What was his name?
Kevin Eubanks.
Kevin Eubanks. Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Eubanks.
I thought he loved everybody.
I'll find out his name. Gary, go ahead.
Who knows more about love, Pat, than French robots? That's where I go to. From 22 Seconds, Matt, let's hear a little bit of the great Daft Punk.
Have you played this one before? I know you played it from this album before.
I just couldn't resist. Digital Love.
Last night, I had a dream about you. In this dream, I'm dancing beside you. And loved like everyone was having fun.
Matt's roboting.
The kind of feeling I waited so long. Don't stop, come a little closer. As we jam, the rhythm gets stronger. There's nothing wrong with just a little fun. We were dancing all night long. The time is right, you put my arms around you. You're feeling right, you wrap your arms around you. But suddenly, I feel the shining sun. Before I know it, this dream was all gone.
Yay. So awesome.
Now, they just wear helmets in concert, right?
But right,
Are they singing live? Like, do they have microphones inside the helmets?
I don't know. Maybe they pretend. It's hard
to know. Is that even them singing, or what do they do? I don't know what they do.
What do they do? I don't know.
Did you say you won't stand for it? That's what it sounds like you're saying.
No. I'll stand for it.
I'll stand for it. It's fine.
I mean, they don't do shows in theaters. I have to stand.
Hey, that Sheryl Crow song was produced by Bill Buttrell, and he did her first album. So.
Buddy Boy.
Yeah, they got
was he part of the Tuesday Night Music Club?
Yes, he was, and that's why they had a big falling out.
They all thought that she kind of...
They all said, she stole all our songs and didn't give us credit and blah, blah, blah. That's why her second album is called Just Sheryl Crow, and it's self-produced, and
it's fucking good.
It's better.
Yeah. Truth be told, she tried to move it to Wednesday night. she couldn't make it.
That was the source of it. I wonder which Melrose plays.
No, that Sheryl Crow self-titled album is amazing.
I don't know who I was even. Is that the producer or is that Sheryl? You decide.
Some troublemaker. Oh, for love.
What's going on, man?
Okay.
Whose turn is it?
I think it's my turn, Pat.
This is my last one. I'm not going to close.
Another good one. You started with one of the best, and you're ending with one of the best.
That's what I'm trying to
you're
do.
You're closing out, man. I'm
closing it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, this has been a love fest. There's been no anti-Amy Mann talk this episode. Everyone's on board with good times and good fun. Mm-hmm. So this is Let My Love Open the Door.
Sure.
Thank you, Matt and Gary.
Thanks, Pat.
Oh, is this it?
Do you have a playout song?
I do.
Okay, it's not it then.
Well, you're digging that. I'll tell you my... when I saw Rilo Kiley at the Wiltern 7 or 8 years ago, and they
tell us a little bit about who's in that band.
That's Jenny Lewis.
I know.
And they did Let My Love Open the Door, the encore, with special guest Debbie Gibson.
Whoa.
Very exciting.
Wait, I think you accidentally said Debbie Gibson. You meant to say Pete Townsend.
No, it's Debbie Gibson.
Okay. You mean...
Then Pete Townsend came in.
Yeah. Was that your play out?
It was one of them.
All right, that's. I'm glad you had that queued up, but I don't want to. I don't want to force Debbie on you if you didn't want to play it. But
no, that was one of my. That was one of the six I grabbed. Just glancing at my iTunes.
I know what another one was.
Oh yeah, Genius of Love.
Tell us what the.
But this is what this is. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Rock Solid Show.
Rock Solid Show on Twitter.
Rock Solid Podcast on Facebook. This is a song that got me into this band. That's one of my favorite bands, and probably got a lot of people into them because it was a hit. And I think I read somewhere once that someone said this really perfectly. It's like this song distills 50 years of rock music into about a minute and 50 seconds. So
White Snake.
Close. White Stripes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Fell in Love with a Girl.
Snake Stripes. I almost played this.